no Bible. I am going to get to read one passage, which I already have queued up on the phone. Hans Zanstra taught this morning on, I don't know what the title will be, but the subject was discernment of the Spirit. Discerning things by the Spirit rather than by your natural reasoning. And he mentioned the gift of discerning of spirits, which normally, that is, Dad Hagen used to say, you actually see in the Spirit. You see angels and you see demons. I've never had that. Sue's had it some. And others have it more. And then sometimes the Lord will couple that with a word of knowledge sometimes in order for you to help people. And very often in a prayer line, he'll show me things that are not to be spoken publicly at all, a lot of times not even to that person. But he'll show me something that I need to know to help me pray. And he's done that overseas also. But I believe, so I always ask, because I know he's got a one mind usually flowing. Said, so what is the message here today? What's my part? You know, what's the 1-2 punch here? See, and I think what it is right now for us, he's calling us to discern the times that we're living in. It's very difficult right now, and it helps me to know it was sometimes difficult for Paul also. So this is the verse that I get to read, and if you want to look it up, you're welcome to. But it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure, of course, the light, the treasure of the gospel of Christ. We have this treasure, this new man, the new spirit, everything that we've taught here about that. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. How many of you know that's true? Earthen vessels. That the excellency of the power, and that word power there is what you'd think. It is dunamis. It is dynamite, where we get the word dynamite. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now here's Paul talking. And he says, we are troubled on every side. He might as well have said, we've been through the year 2020. And it seems to be carrying over into 2021. You know, seems like there's just been a wave of deaths. You know, even when I was reading that list, that you know, in our circle, just since the election, let me say it that way. Well, Jim Martin sent me a text and said, I may get the numbers wrong, they either had 10 friends die in 7 days or 7 friends die in 10 days, but those are the two numbers. That's still a lot. And then since I even read that list, most of you know we've lost our son-in-law, which, anyway, can't stay there. This week we lost Rush Limbaugh, the body of Christ. We lost Carmen, a pioneer in gospel music, blazed trails, you know. It seems like there's a changing of the guard, a changing of the guard, a change of season. And I think it's important that we discern the times that we're living in. Yes, sir. I can hear Bronk's voice in me right now saying that all, you know, we stood so hard for things to go a certain way in the election. And it, the way he put it, this is what I hear. It didn't seem like a single ball bounced our way during that whole thing. I know. But I want to say, if you're going to go by your natural reasoning, see, if you go by your natural reasoning, it doesn't look like anything. Well, how many of you think God was in charge of Paul's life? I believe the Lord was in charge of Paul's life. I think he was led by the Spirit. How many think Paul was led by the Spirit of God? I'm pretty sure he was led by the Spirit of God. So when I read this next part, I mean, if anybody had the excellency of the treasure in an earthen vessel, it would be the Apostle Paul, right? So then he says in verse 8, though, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. This is, if there's one word to describe Gary recently, it's this one. I am perplexed. I'm baffled. The best English word today for that is baffled. I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing. That's why that song is so important to me right now. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. He is the way maker. He is our light in the darkness. He is the promise keeper. But that doesn't change the fact that in my natural man, I'm baffled. I don't get it. Dr. Frederick Casey Price passed away this week. Now, many of you might be too young to know who that is, but I got to tell you, in the early 80s, when Sue and I were going to those conventions, he was the purest, maybe the purest faith teacher I ever heard. There was just no equal. Now, there's many good ones, don't get me wrong. Dad Hagen, Orville Hayes, many, many, many. But boy, he was something else. And his book, just to be honest with you, probably kept me from being shipwrecked. Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption. That book probably kept me from just going off the... We were so zealous. You know, all new believers that are filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to lock them in a closet right until they can pray their way out. Full of zeal, no knowledge at all, you know. It's like a bull in a china closet, you know. That was us. And without that book, I probably would have gotten off into presumption and foolishness and all kinds of things. And I didn't even really like reading it. What do you mean I need insurance? What? I think it's still in print, Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption by Kenneth K.C. Price, I believe. No. Frederick. I knew that wasn't right. Frederick K.C. Price. Thank you. Anyway, that's another one we've lost. Now, he was 89. You know, it's not that big a surprise, but... Still, it's a season. There's a changing. Can't you feel it? And there's something going on that we don't, it's not over. I agree. There's something God's doing that's going to be great for our nation. But I'm perplexed. Maybe he let you in on it. Which of you, has he let you in on it yet? You know? Anyway, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. You can let yourself become distressed. I caution you again. If I was you, I would not feed on the news. Don't let that be your food. We are perplexed, but not in despair. I'm really not in despair. I'm just perplexed. So was Paul. That helps me. That helps me that Paul himself says, I'm perplexed. I don't get it all the time what God's doing, but I trust him anyway. See, you know. Persecuted. Whenever you're persecuted, the enemy always says, where's your God now? Always. Where's your God now? If he loved you, this wouldn't be happening. If he, you know, you can't trust what he says. It goes all the way back to the garden. Hath God said. He's still using anything in the natural he can, trying to get you to doubt God's word. And not just his written word, his word to you personally. That's why Paul told Timothy, you make a good warfare by those prophecies that have been spoken over you. Pastor Bronk is doing a series right now on warring over the prophecies. And when I get through this here today, this afternoon, I'm going to listen to it. But anyway, hallelujah. Paul continues here, persecuted but not forsaken. Don't think just because persecution comes, and it can get really tough. You know, if you stand your ground and you say anything that's opposed to the, what do they call it, PC culture, if you say anything that's against what they want you to believe, like sin is sin, you know, fornication is sin, I don't care what you say. You know? Adultery is sin. I don't care what you say. They're wanting me to say homosexuality is sin, no matter what you say. You know? Well, you know, the mildest persecution is they take you off of YouTube or whatever. But then if they dox you, if they make your address and, you know, make your address known to the world, now you can get really ugly. Really ugly, real quick. Persecuted, but not, we're not forsaken. Now, you got to always remember, what did Jesus say? What are our instructions from our commander in chief when you're persecuted and hated for his name's sake? What's our instruction? Rejoice and leap for joy. Hallelujah. Even Peter and the rest of them, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Glory to God. You slash my tires? Glory to God in the highest. Don't come slashing my tires now. But that is the reaction we're supposed to have. Well, you're not going to get that reaction from your natural mind. Got to know who you are, where you're from, why you're here, who you're serving, what this is life is about. Not about my tires, although I need tires. But it's not about my tires. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body. Now we're back to our natural body. See, he starts this off saying, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And now we're back to the earthen vessel. Always bearing about in the earthen vessel the dying of the Lord Jesus. What does that mean? Well, Jesus died once on the cross, but Jesus died to the will of the flesh on a daily basis. And thank God we have his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Thank God it's in there. Because if it was hard for him, and of course that's the big one, that's right before the cross, but that tells us what his life was like every day. Not my will. Flesh, you're not going to have your way. Yes, sir. But see, we're pressing into a presence revival. And it doesn't matter if you're behind the pulpit or in the pew. This is Joel's army he's raising up this time. You are going to carry his presence in a way the world has never seen. And I'm not just saying that. God said that through those prophecies. He said you're going to see things that man has never seen. Now, if you really think about that, what has man seen? Mankind has seen the parting of the Red Sea. Mankind has seen a man walk on water. Mankind has seen the pillar of fire and the cloud, you know, but what is it? Fire by night and cloud by day. Man has seen the River Jordan at flood stage back all the way up to the city of Adam. I mean, man has seen a lot of things. Man has seen where you get crippled people, sick people within shadow length of Peter, they just get healed. My Lord, the things man has seen, and God has said to us, you talk about warring over a prophecy? God has said, the revival I'm taking you into, the revival I'm taking you into, you're going to see things that mankind has never seen. The greatest revival ever. I think Hans will be the first one to stand at the banks of the Arkansas River, strike it with his rod in the name, come across on dry ground, you know. Or whatever needs to happen. Hallelujah. Presence. So I have committed myself, like I know many of you have. I mean, we're still doing the prayer. The church again is open. Thank God the church is open again for prayer this week. And by Wednesday, the iceberg up front will be gone. The glacier will be gone by then. Thank you, Lord. And we're still going to have our seasons of prayer, but he's taking us into a season of seeking him. And I hate to even use the word worship because we have such categorized in our mind what that is. What it is seeking him. Seeking him with your whole heart. And he promises, if you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. And again, it goes right back to Luke 11, which I just can't get out of that. All my waking hours almost, no matter what I'm even saying, I'm still chewing like an old cow in Luke 11. About going in that door, asking, seeking, knocking. Where you actually go in there with him. Because that's really the only way to carry out the bread, other than by the gifts. But if you're going to walk in that presence, it's going to require some level of seeking him that's beyond playing CDs in your living room. Although that's nothing wrong with that. Yes, sir. Okay. He's always having me be transparent, and I'm okay with that. So I've been endeavoring to do that, and y'all know, because I've told you in the, y'all. Okay. Y'all know I'm from Oklahoma, anyway. I am educated, I just don't talk like it. So I've been endeavoring, get up early, but there's no phone calls, no interruptions, you know. And my tendencies, what is easy for me is to just pray in tongues. And when I say these things, I'm just trying to break into a realm I've not been in before, really. My tendency is to open up the Word. My tendency is to put on Bronk or Jim or somebody that I, you know, because that's my pattern. That's Gary. But I know what has been is not going to produce where we're going. I've got to do something different. So I've been trying to, he's not even letting me listen again. I need to hear all of Dave's series on worship again. And he says, you know what's in there. You don't need to hear it again. You need to do it once. Yeah. I mean, he didn't mean, like, start doing it, not just once. He means just quit listening and start doing. Well, I've been doing that. Dear God, the resistance. And it's not just, it's external things like the, you know, the rash of funerals at our age, there's aches and pains that just seem to come out of nowhere. I'm just fine. I'm sitting on the couch. I'm not doing anything. And my left foot starts hurting. I'm going, what? Talk about an earthen vessel. What's wrong with you? And I mean hurts. You know? Like you're afraid to stand up. Rebuke it in Jesus' name. What does it do? Hurts worse. Distractions of all kinds. This morning I'm getting ready to come to church. I go out to my car and, you know, these new cars, you got to have a fob, right? They don't even have there's no key thing on the door. I get out there and I touch it, nothing, you know, nothing. What in the world? I reach in my pocket. I guess I can actually do this. I reach in my pocket. Now, okay, here's a normal key fob. Y'all can see it. Any modern car. But when I reach in my pocket and pull it out, this is all that's there. You know, where's the fob? Touch, touch, touch. Touch it with this. Nothing, nothing. I go in, Sue, I've lost my fob. She says, what? I'm fobless. I'm telling you, I'm fobless. I have no fob. She's, what? So finally I had to use her fob. We couldn't find it. I had to use her fob to come to church, you know, start the car. All the time. What in the world? I mean, it's just distractions. I'm just mentioning that, but it's so many things like that. It's like there's these just little things that just distract. Is anyone else going through anything like that? And, you know, and it consumes your time, and you're looking around for something that should be right there. Now, how this happened, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I do have my fob, obviously. Where was it? Oh, where you... anyone would think to look for it. Under the couch. You tell me. Now, my first thought was, well, okay, I carry it in my pocket. I take naps. Maybe it fell out of my pocket. No, that's not where it was at the couch. It was at the feet, where my feet are down there. Now you tell me how it got under there. Anyway, I am no longer fabulous. I just. But it's worse than that. Let me quit. But there's been things like little things like that. How much of that? I don't have the discernment yet. I don't see the little devils hiding my fob. You know, I don't know if even know if that's what happened. I don't know. But I do know that I can discern that we're trying to be stopped from going into his presence. Another thing, okay, I got to tell some more stuff. So last year I did really good, probably the best year I've ever had on fasting. I did really good. My weight got down pretty low and I felt better. But after all of the disappointments that's come, and I'm going to blame it on the election, I'm going to blame it on the funerals, I'm going to blame it on the cold weather, being stuck in the house, okay? And all of a sudden my scales have become liars. I got on this morning, I go, "You lying thing, that cannot be right." And reset it. What? That can't be right, but it is right. What? Now what's that about? Let's discern. My flesh is resisting. Well, if you're going to make me go in there, if you're going to make me go in, see, Angie sent me a song this morning. The first line is it. First line in it. I don't know the name of the song, but I know the first line in it. You provide, talking to God, you provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. Well, that's Romans 12:1, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. My body does not like worship. I'll just be honest with you. It didn't like prayer. It got excited at first when it thought it was going to get a new car out of it. Already had a pretty wife. I couldn't believe her pretty wife. Already had that. But when I thought I was going to get a new car out of it, my flesh was excited. But after my flesh found out it was dying in there, my flesh is not crazy about spending hours in prayer. But I overcome that one a long time ago. I know how to make it shut up and just do it anyhow. But I'm finding out that it's resisting. So it wants food, comfort me. If you're going to make me die in that prayer worship chamber, at least let me have an extra slice of chocolate cake. With black walnut ice cream, by the way. It's reasonable, Susan. That sounds reasonable. And to the natural mind, it does. I love my wife. She's cute as a button. Hallelujah. It's reasonable. And okay, another thing, especially after, you know, people grieve in different ways. And I got to tell you, I don't know how long it'll take. We're still, can't even hardly say his name without tears. So what does my flesh want? Yeah. People grieve in different ways, you know, they really do. And for me, some of my favorite old movies from like 30 years ago. Suddenly I wanted to watch Terminator 2 with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Now really, it's a pretty clean movie. I did watch it again. I did watch it, you know. By today's standards, it's almost holy. I mean, there was no sex scene. There was no aberrant people in it. There was no, you know. Well, there was a guy that turns into metal, but that's different. But there was a couple of F words in there but by today's standards again, it's almost holy. But I realized, even while I'm watching it, why am I doing this? I'm letting my flesh, I've discerned even then, but I still let it watch it. Yeah, I let it. And God is long-suffering. How many are glad he's long-suffering, merciful, that his mercies are new every morning? But I think that's the 1-2 punch with what's going on, why he had Hans preach what he preached, what he's having me. We have to discern what's going on. And we can't let our flesh, it's not reasonable, even though it seems reasonable. I can't let my flesh balloon back up to Mr. Round Man again. And I can't sit and watch 30-year-old movies. just to appease my soul and give me some kind of escape. I don't need escape. I need to conquer. Yeah, I need to conquer. I don't need escape. My body keeps, my flesh keeps telling me I need to escape. But my spirit says this is the time to conquer. Our nation is at stake. The future of our children and our grandchildren is at stake. And even the freedom to preach the gospel without horrible persecution is at stake. This is no time to slack off. So what does that mean, church? Well, what's the opposite of feasting? Fasting. And this is the first quarter of the year. This is fasting season. So not only can I not give my flesh chocolate cake, I can't give it salad here much, you know. Which it's okay with that. Well, unless I get real hungry, then, you know, it's amazing how good a salad with ranch dressing sounds when you haven't eaten in 3 days. I mean, boy, I love those salads in, you know. Oh, I didn't finish. Yes, sir. I want to finish up this passage, see. I read verse 9 again. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Boy, thank God for that. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body. Now that's that flesh, see. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. And that's what I have to do right now. Every time my flesh says it's reasonable for me to go have another bowl of ice cream, I say, no, flesh, you're going to do some more dying right now. Ah! No, instead of the ice cream, we're going to go worship some more. No! We're going to go pray some more. Ah, I'm dying. Yeah, it's called the dying of the Lord Jesus. Because this is what he did. It wasn't just the day he died on the cross. He lived a life of obedience. He lived a life of obedience. But if we do that, the other half of this verse is amazing. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life also of Jesus. And I love how that's worded. Not Christ. Could have said Christ. Jesus. When he says Jesus, this is we see the man, Jesus, walking through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A man so dependent on the Holy Spirit, not doing anything because of his deity, but doing everything by submission to the Holy Spirit, to the will of the Father. That life can be lived through us if we allow the dying in the body, the earthen vessel. Boy, what a trade-off. I don't get to eat chocolate cake, but when I pray, blind eyes open. Maybe I didn't get to watch the 30-year-old movie, but when I pray, whatever I pray is manifested. See, that's where he's taking us, and it is going to be the greatest revival the world has ever seen. So I'm going to say it again, that why do we do that? Why do we bear about the dying? And he's really talking about dying all the way to death. If required, he did. Paul was beheaded younger than me. He was in his middle to late 60s. History, not the Bible, but history tells us he was beheaded by Nero. Not Nero personally, but at his command. In his late 60s, middle to late 60s. But at this time, he was just giving us his report. Verse 11. For we which live are alway delivered. And Dave would always labor over that word alway. He said it means more than just always. Many modern translations say always. And it's okay. It's not really wrong to say that. But the real word here means more than that. It doesn't mean repetitively only. Although it does. Paul was delivered more than once to death. What it really means though is all the way. We which live are all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. My life is not my own. We're back to that verse. He said we had the sentence of death within ourselves. Lord, if we stay here, it looks like certain death. What do you want us to do, Lord? Stay there. He goes, why? That we would learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in the living God who raises the dead. For we which live are all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, yes, might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death works in us. He's talking about that dying of Jesus, but life in you. See, my job is to follow. And he doesn't let me prepare lessons the way I used to, so you'll have to look the verse up, but it's in Exodus. When God told him, he says, I'm not going to go with you into the promised land. He told Moses, I'm not going to go with you. If I go with you, I'm going to kill you. He said, you're a stiff-necked and a rebellious people. And they just kept rebelling, you know. And God says, well, I promised Abraham to give you this land. I'm going to give you the land. But I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel to go in front of you. And he'll drive out the enemy in front of you. And you'll possess the land that way, but I'm not going to go. Thank God for Moses. Because he said, that's not good enough. He said, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us. Boy, if that's not the revival that we're... See, I'm so tired of even meetings like this, to be honest with you. I know Hans is tired of the kind he did this morning. They're fine. It's been needed, but again, that prophecy by Smith Wigglesworth where he saw that wave, he saw every wave of revival. He saw the healing revivals after World War II. He saw the charismatic renewal after that in the 70s and 80s. Then he saw the wave of the teaching that's been going on now, that word of faith and other titles, but just a wave of teaching. And we needed teaching. It's not wrong. But after that, he said, I see the greatest revival in the history of the world. All of the gifts will be manifest in it, and they will be, but it's going to be more than the gifts. And he's already showed me and many others, this one will be known as a presence revival. And it's going to be carried. Remember? See, David loved, how many know David loved the Lord? King David. Not David Roberson. We know he loved the Lord too, but I'm talking about King David right now. And the Ark of the Covenant had been captured by the Philistines. And they, you know, David goes, no, we need to have the Ark here in Jerusalem. So he had devised a way to bring it, and they built a brand new cart. I'm sure he was trying to honor God. They built a nice new cart and had oxen to pull the Ark of the Covenant and take it back. But on the journey, not very far into it, there was a pothole or something, and the new cart jiggled, or, you know, and it looked like the Ark was going to slip off. So was his name Uzziah? Uzzah? I knew there was a U and a Z in there somewhere. Uzzah reached out his hand. He was just trying to help. Killed him. So David goes, we're not doing this right or something. So we're stopping this till we see what's wrong. And they left the card at I think the guy's name was Obadiah. Oh, something. This is what you get. Lord, you didn't let me prepare, okay? It's not my fault. I'd have this all laid out. Anyway, Obed, maybe? Anyway, whatever the guy's name is. While the cart's at his house, the Lord blessed his house. I mean, everything got blessed. Crops, I mean, everything. Anybody looking goes, wow. Why? It's different. Why is he being so blessed? Well, the Ark of the Covenant is at his house. So David is not a... Anyway, people come and explain from the scriptures how you're supposed to carry God's presence. Instead of saying the Ark of the Covenant, what was so special about the Ark of the Covenant? God's presence was in it. And you don't carry it on an ox cart. You don't let something else carry his presence. The way it had to be done, the way it was prescribed in Scripture, It had these rings on the side of it, and it took these long poles and put it through there on either side. And the presence of God had to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. Hello, kings and priests of God. And you're going to carry His presence on your shoulders. He is going to be, no less, he's what He told me, no less than the presence that was in that ark. The presence that would level armies. I mean, the armies feared that ark more than anything. During battle time, if they brought the Ark of the Covenant out, the enemy knew this is over. Because, I mean, because of the presence. And you are going to carry no less that same presence. The picture is on your shoulders, but the real truth of it in your heart. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power is of Him, not of us. But in order to walk in that, these verses have to apply to us just like they did to Paul. That we always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. See, that presence was always with Him. But Luke 11, he keeps taking me back to Luke 11 because Jesus Himself would spend all night in prayer. And we don't know what was said there. They didn't know either, or they wouldn't have asked Him. You know? But somehow those long nights, that time that Jesus would spend alone with the Father, it's connected with His teaching there in Luke 11. Because Jesus would ask and seek and knock. And He says, anyone that does that, anyone that asks, they'll receive. Anyone that seeks, finds. Anyone that knocks, the door will be opened. It's just the opposite of what the devil tells you. God's in there going, come on in. I've been waiting for you. Come on in. When we leave here, we're going to leave together. My Holy Spirit's going with you. And that's the presence that we carry. But it's a different level, and I just know what I know at this point. We all have the presence of the Holy Spirit with us to some degree, or you could not pray in other tongues. It's Him that's creating the language. So if you can pray in tongues, I already know the Holy Spirit, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit with you. But we all know there's a difference in that. Again, I've had the gifts of the show up. I could tell stories, you know, how the gifts have shown up in different places around the world when we'd minister. But when it comes to pure presence, that one service in Houston at LaRue's church many years ago, I have never felt the presence of God like that. And I wasn't ready for it. I stumbled around like a drunk man. I had two men holding me up. If they'd let go, I'd go like splat on the floor myself, you know. They're holding me up. And somebody else, I don't even know who, would lift my hand up and put my hand on people, and they'd go splat on the floor, you know. I wasn't even saying nothing. I couldn't talk. Never in my life have I ever, and I've been drunk a lot. I know what being drunk is, okay. You're talking, I'd get drunk to go drinking, okay. Now I know what drunk is. But I have never been drunk like that in my life. Never. But see, that's not, I don't think Jesus went around, somebody hold me up, Peter, hold me up. John, come put my hand on this person over here. No. See, we have got to become vessels that can handle the glory. Gee, I wonder if any fasting might be involved in that. I wonder if any denying the flesh might be involved in that. I wonder if any of the dying of our Lord Jesus might be involved in that. To get our flesh to be the kind of vessels that can handle the glory of God when it shows up. Because it's going to show up. See, I'll tell you what I'm hanging on to right now in this season. I'm perplexed. I'm baffled. I'm perplexed. I have 1,000 questions that I'm that I'm not even putting before God. Every time I have another one, I write it and I set it aside because I don't want to waste my. That's good. Say it right. Back up. I don't have time, and it's not important. Really, I'd like to know. It's really got not much to do with where we're going. I can wait till I'm there to find out. What I can't wait on is seeking Him and resisting the flesh that is obviously resisting me, trying to go in there. I hope this is making sense. Hans touched on this morning, and he's been doing it more and more through me. There is such a thing as a tongue and an interpretation of a tongue to be given in a church setting, and it's a gift that I've operated in almost from the very beginning. And so sometimes when I come to the end of what I know, he'll prompt me. He'll just start doing this, and he'll give the interpretation, okay? So we'll both hear what he says. Even you that sometimes you wonder if you're even saved. You'll do something that's really out of character, but it reminds you of who you used to be. And the enemy will come right there and say, are you even saved? You know you're not right with God. But I say unto you, you are my child. You have been born of my spirit. Your flesh is resisting every effort you make, trying to go further into my presence. Understand, your flesh is not you. That is who you are fighting against, along with a horde of devils that are doing their best to inspire your flesh. But I have sent you my spirit, and as you spend time with my spirit, he edifies that real you on the inside. And you grow up, you're actually the giant. You're actually the giant that the demons are afraid of. You're the giant in the land. In my name, you're the giant. The enemy is the one afraid of you. And it's in my name, though. It's who I've made you. It's me in you. But you are the conqueror. Yet the enemy would distract you here and distract you there and entice you here and entice you there, and bring all manner of distraction, anything. It doesn't matter to him what it is, as long as it stops your pursuit of me. Discern the times. Discern the plan of the enemy. Understand what's going on. Believe the words I have spoken to you, not only in my written word, but believe the words I have spoken unto you by prophecy, and make a good warfare. It says that Jesus, now I'm not prophesying now, I may again. One of the things that it says Jesus is waiting on is until his enemies are made his footstool. Remember that scripture? And really, when you talk about the enemies of Jesus, he has many enemies. But he has no peer enemy. See, Lucifer himself, Satan, who are his peers? It's not Jesus. Lucifer is a fallen archangel. He would be on the class of Michael, Gabriel, and there may be more. That's the level where he is. He thinks he's God. But he is an angel. No wonder the name of Jesus. Jesus is God. He's the God-man. He is the exalted Christ in his glorified body. He is God. He has no peer enemy. We have got to understand that Christ in us is so superior to any angel, any demon. And I mean the best of them. You know, they might be fighting with Michael. They might be fighting with Gabriel. But they have, what did they do when Jesus showed up? They begged, don't cast us out. Don't torment us before the time. And who do you think it is that walks in the room in you? I believe the day will come and come quickly when the devils will beg. Because they'll recognize who it is that walked in you. They'll beg. Christ has no peer. He has no enemy on the same level with him. His name is far above every name that is named. Somebody watching this very program, whether it's today or whatever, you're going, I really don't know if I'm saved. I don't know if I've ever really surrendered to Christ. I think we're going to have a lot more altar calls coming up. And I think the Spirit of God is going to draw people to these videos and MP3s around the world. All I know is we're going to do altar calls more. Now, if you're in this room, I pretty much know everybody here, but if you're in this room, or especially if you're watching, and so you're watching somebody I know, I'm discerning, I know. You don't know for sure. Well, you can know for sure. And this is, we're going to all join with you in this prayer. It won't hurt us at all. Before I ask you to pray, just let me preach the gospel to you real quick. Jesus is the Son of God. He came to earth as a man. He was sinless, spotless, perfect, never sinned even once. Yet he loved you so much. He was willing to die on the cross to take the punishment for your sins so that you could become a son of God. He took your sin so that you can have his righteousness. He'll make you a new creature. He literally will come in if you ask him. And you'll be a new sheriff in town. There'll be a new spirit within you. And he'll rise up and he'll start cleaning your life up and changing you in every way. And I don't care how bad your life has been. He has no peer. He has no equal. Your sin is easily handled by the Son of God. So now that you know that, and God raised him from the dead just to prove that the price has been paid. It's all under the blood of Jesus. So we're going to pray this prayer with you. Just say it with me. Lord Jesus, I have heard the gospel. I believe you are the Son of God. I know you lived a sinless life and you died for me. You died in my place. You paid the price for my sin. Because of that, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. I repent of my sin. Jesus, come into my heart. Make me a new creature. I know you've been raised from the dead. And nothing is too hard for you. From this day forward, Lord, you are the Lord of my life. Whatever you say, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I love you, Lord. I'm no longer a sinner. I am now the righteousness of God. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of God. And I'm going to live with you forever. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And let's pray one more prayer. Because he not only wants to birth you, he wants to empower you with his own Holy Spirit. That's the Ark of the Covenant we're talking about. That's where his presence comes. So let's pray. Just pray this. Say, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. and fill me continually with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I expect all of the gifts to flow through me. I expect to speak in other tongues as you give me the utterance. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. Fill me to overflowing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Well, the other thing he told me in this season is when we're done, we're done. And for me to go on from here would not be wise. I hear this one parting instruction. Tell people about Jesus. Now, we all know that. This is not heavy, revy. But I keep hearing, in this season especially, tell people about Jesus. You each have a testimony. You may not consider yours. We're not all evangelists, but we're all witnesses. And we can all tell what great things the Lord has done for us. Don't hesitate to tell people about Jesus. Hallelujah. All right.